I want to just acknowledge some of the framing of how the immigration right debate is going to roll out in the U.S. media and through the kind of lens of policymakers. We really are going to see the reiteration of three themes which have been very strong in the last three rounds of immigration reform. One is the myth of desire and choice. It's the idea that people come to this country to go to the shopping mall. And it's a narrative that doesn't acknowledge the massive displacement of people around the globe, 14 million migrants every year, only 1% of which ever go through the United States. The second is the myth of criminality and terrorism, that we have more to fear from each other than to learn from each other, based in an understanding that the war on terrorism still defines this whole conversation. And the third is the myth of the fair labor market, that if you work hard, and especially if you are documented, that you can become a middle-class U.S. citizen, when in fact, the very prevalence of all of us, including those of us who are undocumented, make it possible for those who are the richest in this country to maintain their standard of living. So given that, I just did want to take a second to look at some of the basic components of immigration reform. The real point of this conversation is to say that the immigration reform debate is going to be kind of like a shell game. And these are basic components which are going to get traded, bought, sold, and upgraded and downgraded over the course of many months. Clearly, one of the biggest pieces that is getting talked about in immigration reform is the issue of legalization, how that connects to driver's licenses and IDs, work authorization, visas, and access to benefits, as the speakers talked about just a minute ago. A second category that we're going to hear a lot about is family unification, which includes the question of who can be sponsored. Does it include our parents, our children, our uncles, aunts, cousins, grandparents, and our lovers, as well as the reduction of the backlog, people who are waiting, who have families who can sponsor them. We also know that a big part of the proposal includes the DREAM Act, which is about the ability of undocumented students to access higher education and federal support and subsidies for that. And then a huge, huge component of immigration reform, regardless of who proposes it, is going to be enforcement. And really, the bulk of immigration reform will be rooted in this area. So that includes border militarization, detention, and deportation. For those of us who are LGBT, it means we need to think about how we get profiled at border crossings based on our gender identity, homophobia, and race, our access to safety, medication, and appropriate medical care if we are detainees, especially if we're trans and HIV and or HIV positive. And finally, the disproportionate rate of detention, deportation of trans community members due to gender identity, inconsistencies of gender identity on our documents. We're also looking at a big piece around the protection and also enforcement around workers. So that includes the ag jobs, which is really about migrant workers' rights to livable wage employment, and a very bad set of goals around employment verification, which is using social security numbers to track people through their work sites. And then finally, we have a big category around asylum reform, which is often overlooked and which I think we're going to have to really fight to see included, which includes the expansion of categories by which we can apply for asylum and ending a one-year cap, which means that we need to establish our ability to apply for asylum even if we're here for longer than a year. For a lot of us who are undocumented LGBT immigrants, asylum is still our one and only option, oftentimes for access to permanent status. So given that those are some of the categories we're looking at, and I think that this gives us an opportunity to decide what our frame is going to be. When we hear about the proposals that are coming out of Congress, I think it's up to all of us to educate ourselves on what pieces we think are the most important, what pieces we want to support, and really importantly, what pieces do not criminalize each other. And I think we have the possibility of holding a different narrative, including that for any part of our identities, whether it's being queer, trans, a person of color, or undocumented, that not a single one of us is illegal or alien, that migration is a result of displacement based on globalization and war, and that any answer to an immigration crisis has to start there, that we have to fight for each other, for every single one of us, for all of each other, and we have to get better at fighting for the people that don't look like us and are not at all like us, but are still vulnerable in some of the ways we are. Thank you.